Mr. Todd, I downloaded your Issues, Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues, Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues, Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
The hymn Creator Spirit Heavenly Dove, it's playing right now at Lutheran Public Radio. LutheranPublicRadio.org, not just a website. It's 24-7, 365 day a year, sacred music station for you. Nothing but the church's music, according to the church's year, 24-7, 365 days a year, absolutely free at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Not only can you go there on your laptop or your computer, you can also listen on your iPhone and your Android as well. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Go and listen. You will not be disappointed. Joining us to talk about the Presbyterian Church USA, a recently concluded 220th General Assembly of that church body, and decisions that were made in their General Assembly, Bart Gingrich. He is a research assistant for the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C., and he covered the recently concluded General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA for IRD. Bart, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, I'm glad I could be on the show.
A mere 30 votes and 4 percentage points really was the margin of victory for rejecting legislation that would redefine marriage as two people instead of one man and one woman. They managed to defeat that. Were you surprised that it was defeated?
Actually, personally, I was. I was pleasantly surprised. Ever since last General Assembly, when they redefined the clerical requirements, where it's just just in marriage, a loving, committed relationship. Conservative Presbyterians had been splitting off. They even formed a new denomination. So conservatives coming into this General Assembly weren't expecting a victory. A lot of the Orthodox have left, but they were pleasantly surprised to see that they didn't redefine anything.
How do you account for the defeat of the legislation that would have redefined marriage as two persons or two people?
I would ultimately credit the grace of God, but there were really good arguments made on the floor. Foreign delegates who were representing other nations, other denominations, were talking about how this would hurt the fellowship amongst the different Presbyterian bodies internationally, because a lot of the international foreign Presbyterian bodies would find this very troublesome in having fellowship with PCUSA. Other ones were just very, very winsome argumentation, and a lot of the moderates were swung over. However, even though this is very good news, unfortunately, the arguments to reaffirm marriage in various places and try to retake ground was shot down. So it was more of a status quo sort of situation instead of winning a victory for orthodoxy of any kind.
So it's what you're saying here is, given the decisions taken before 2 years ago, when essentially they opened the door for clergy to be sexually active outside of traditional marriage, this is, you've held your ground. You haven't advanced the cause of the definition of traditional marriage in the Presbyterian Church USA.
Quite right, yes.
Okay, with that said, I wanted to ask you about something that I found curious. There is a group, I believe it's called More Light, that's somehow associated with the Presbyterian Church USA, pro-lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender rights. And the keynote speaker at a recent event this last week was none other than Bishop Gene Robertson, Bishop of New Hampshire in the Episcopal Church and the first openly gay bishop in that church. What did you make of them inviting him to speak?
It's an interesting choice. The pro-LGBT caucuses within the mainline Protestant denominations, they do have a pretty free flow of information and arguments and strategies that go across the board for all of them. Gene Robinson is kind of a superstar in the religious left pro-LGBT cause, being the bishop and being the first openly homosexual bishop. More Light is also the more radical. There's also Covenant Network, or Covenant is another Presbyterian body that caucus that pushes the LGBT agenda, but More Light was more radical. They were more open about what they wanted, and bringing in Gene Robinson was kind of just a sign or a nod towards that.
What did you make of what he had to say in particular to More Light?
It was mostly a pep talk, mostly an encouragement that it's going to be inevitable. He said the conservatives realize it's inevitable across the board. They just have this feeling of doom and they're afraid of change. That was kind of the gist of his argument. He just has this this idea and this faith that inevitably the LGBT agenda is going to be repented of the same way that the American churches repented of slavery and segregation. He sees it as very much a civil rights sort of argument, sort of feel to it.
The other thing that that I found interesting at the opening of his speech there was he commended the More Light group and other groups like it, across denominational lines, for causing what he called holy chaos or divine confusion. What was Gene Robinson saying?
He likes the idea that churches are at least confused, and a lot of Orthodox believers haven't been receiving, you know, strong biblical arguments. And they're confused. A lot of the moderates or just the people in the pews don't really know what to do with it because they hear all the stories of LGBT folks being hurt by the church and wanting to find quote-unquote acceptance. And with that, there's no more certainty, and he considers that progress. If there's confusion instead of certainty regarding the biblical principles of sexuality, he sees that as a win.
How strong or influential are the LGBT caucuses in the Presbyterian Church USA?
Well, they were able to bring out a win the last General Assembly, so they certainly come out in force. They show solidarity. They in both the United Methodist General Conference and in this General Assembly, they wear rainbow stoles, and they bring out all their supporters. They work hard to bring out lots of supporters, so it feels like to commissioners that there is a large push and a large desire for the acceptance of the LGBT, the new sexuality standards, when that might not, in fact, be the case. So they play their cards well in that case.
How is that viewpoint either officially or unofficially represented in the leadership of the Presbyterian Church USA, that pro-LGBT agenda?
Most of the leadership is generally pretty quiet about it. They have kind of this nourishing aspect. They want everybody to get along. They don't like it when people say they're getting hurt. So they're kind of, they don't come down hard to enforce orthodox or anything. One that was shown, for example, on the floor, there was a talk about the confessions. There's an argument about how are the confessions interpreted and can they be enforced? That's basically the question. Can we actually enforce the Westminster and the Second Helvetic and the Heidelberg? And basically they said, no, they're kind of nice because that's what our ancestors believed. It's a different part of the Constitution, and the that disagrees with the second part of the Constitution, which is about the polity, and so we're going to ignore the confessions. And with that, and when the chair accepted that, and when the stated clerk accepted that recommendation, you can kind of see that the leadership, you know, they don't really have the bent or their persuasion to really fight back, I guess, or kind of staunch for orthodoxy. They're kind of making sure there's a live option that everybody can agree on, that everybody likes, and that will be the truth for the Presbyterian Church.
Real quickly, with only about 20 seconds, is, in your opinion, with the leadership there, is it a matter of will, or is it a matter of conviction with regard to that? About 20 seconds.
I don't know. I can't speak for them. There's probably both. That's what I would say. I think there's a long way to recover there, but I think God still isn't done with the peace of USA, and I think there can be some ground retaken for that.
Bart Gingrich is a research assistant for the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C., and he covered the recently concluded General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA for IRD. You'll find a link to the Institute on Religion and Democracy under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Bart, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking with Pastor Jeff Grahams. You would have to be living under a rock to not know the cultural phenomenon, both in film and television, that is the new vampire. They're young, they're sexy, they may be pale, but your kids are reading the books and watching the films, and it's really, really just soap opera stuff. But with the drawing of blood, well, let's talk a little bit about the vampire myth, the biblical view of blood in the Bible. When we come back, Pastor Jeff Grahams will be our guest on Issues Etc. We're coming to you live on this Wednesday afternoon. It's July the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A fun contest highlights life and supports pregnancy care centers.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
World Magazine publishes an annual Roe v. Wade issue in January, often including cute pictures of babies. For the 2013 issue, the magazine has set up what it calls a contest with many winners. To choose pictures for the issue, they are calling for photos of babies born to clients of pregnancy resource centers during 2012. Pregnancy support centers across America help thousands of women choose life each year. Hoping to encourage mothers, along with center directors, volunteers, and supporters, the magazine expects to receive hundreds, if not thousands, of submissions.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.